World Soccer Talk Radio is here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. My name is Nate Abarea. Thanks for making World Soccer Talk Radio a part of your plans every Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific time, live right here on Sports Byline. And thanks for subscribing to us on iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher as well. Stefan Szymanski is making his return to the program in this edition of World Soccer Talk Radio to talk all about his new book, Money and Soccer, a Soccernomics Guide. Now, Stefan Szymanski, as you may know, the co-author of Soccernomics. This new book, it dives even deeper into the money game that many people feel is plaguing world club soccer. And this book focuses so much on clubs around the world and leagues around the world, but I cannot believe the timing of it. And this book that is due to come out here in a very, very soon, got to get the exact date of when this thing's being officially released from Stefan, but I've had a chance to take a look at it and read quite a bit of it here in the last couple of days. And the timing of it and how it relates to everything going on with FIFA is fascinating. How does it connect? How does the situation on a club level with the economics within soccer relate to the corruption that we're seeing on the international, quote-unquote, international level with FIFA? It's going to be a fantastic discussion with Stefan. I mean, remember those college classes that were taught by the professor that just had that perfect combination of academic rigor, of stage presence, of a sort of puzzling yet logical prose, and that little bit of necessary, just beautiful craziness to keep you on your toes. I mean, that's what talking to Stefan Szymanski reminds me of. He is that professor. This edition of World Soccer Talk Radio is like one of those college classes. So folks, whip out the pen and the notepad, crack a beer, kick back, enjoy this thing. It is going to be a very, very interesting discussion with Stefan Szymanski, talking all about his new book, Money and Soccer, a Soccernomics Guide. And we'll lay down a little Fearless Friday forecast. Champions League final prediction. It's World Soccer Talk Radio. We're back after this. Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned. Are you sick and tired of paying more than $100 a month for your TV bill? Well, if so, I've got the solution for you. It's called Fubo TV, and it's the best way to watch the greatest leagues from around the world. Fubo TV is a legal and affordable streaming service that delivers live and on-demand HD broadcasts of BN Sports, Goal TV, Benfica TV, and more. That means you can watch La Liga, Serie A, the Bundesliga, Ligue 1, Copa America, and more. With Fubo TV, the broadcast stream to your computer, smartphone, tablet, Roku, or Amazon Fire TV. Plus, Fubo TV works with Chromecast, so you can cast the games to your TV set. Best of all, Fubo TV is offering a 2-week free trial, so you can watch as much soccer as you like. Go to fubo.tv/radio and sign up today. And if you love what you see, a monthly subscription to Fubo TV is only $6.99 per month. So sign up at fubo.tv/radio right now. FUBO.TV/radio and start enjoying the best soccer from around the world at home, work, or on the go.
Soccer fans, I have a question for you. Which is the only soccer network in the United States that shows games from Ajax, PSV, Colo Colo, Benfica, Zenit, and other teams? The answer is NGSN, a brand new online sports network that offers live and on-demand games from 7 different leagues from around the world for free, no strings attached. With your free 90-day trial, you can watch as many league games from the following countries as you like: Holland, Portugal, Russia, Chile, Bolivia, Ecuador, and Venezuela. NGSN is the only place you can watch Eredivisie games, featuring star players such as Memphis Depay, Andres Guardado, Aaron Johansson, and many more. Plus all of the games from those leagues that are available on your Windows PC or Mac, and your Apple iPhone or Android device. Commentaries are offered in English or Spanish, plus the games are in HD. Now this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the United States. Try it and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 90-day trial to NGSN. No credit card is required. You just sign up and go. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
If you like painting and saving, ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains during our 4-day super sale, June 5th through the 8th. With 40% off our exceptional paints and stains and 30% off painting supplies, you can give your whole home a color makeover. But hurry, these savings are so super, they won't be around for long. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details.
World Soccer Talk Radio is back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Nate Abarea, and we are joined in this edition of the program by one Stefan Szymanski, making his second appearance here with yours truly on World Soccer Talk Radio. Stefan, it's great to have you back, sir. How you doing?
I'm very good, Nate. Great to be back with you.
Well, let's get right into the new book, Money and Soccer, a Soccernomics Guide. Very similar subject matter to some of your prior work, but talk about what makes this one new, updated, different, and most notably, what makes it important to everything that's going on in the world of the beautiful game right now.
Well, I wanted to really make a kind of a clear statement about how the economics of league soccer around the world works, from and really to account for a couple of things. That firstly, the two things really: dominance and distress. The thing that characterizes club football around the world is a very small number of teams dominate the league. And the second thing is that most of the small clubs are permanently in financial distress. And the point about this is true of, you obviously we think of Spain or England and, you know, the Premier League, La Liga, and we think of this going on. But it's also true no matter how far down you go the pyramid. So, for example, I spent a little time looking at how the Faroe Islands works, which is one of the smallest football nations and one of the smallest leagues in the world, and yet exactly the same thing that you see there. There's this team in the capital called HB, which has dominated the league for 50 years, and they've got lots of small teams, and they're always on the edge of bankruptcy, and everything's always falling apart. So it's that thing I wanted to get, that it's not something about the way that a league is managed in a particular country or the way or particular national styles. It's something that's inherent to the structure of soccer leagues as they are organized around the world.
Now, you really went deep into Real Madrid, actually pretty early on in the book. It's one of the first major things that you really tackle in this latest book of yours. And in reading the parts about Real Madrid, it seems as if the 1920s, the 1940s, the 1960s, and the early 2000s are really the pivotal time periods for the growth of what Real Madrid is as a club. And people talk about monopoly on the business side, maybe call it a duopoly with Barcelona right there with them. But talk about what they represent. And then after, I want to get your thoughts on how Man City and Chelsea in England are in many ways here in 2015 following that historic model of what Real Madrid laid out so long ago.
Right. Well, I mean, again, to go back to my theme of dominance and distress, one thing I start out in the book is trying to explain how particular clubs in particular countries became dominant. Because the point is that clubs achieve dominance in different ways, potentially, but eventually someone is going to achieve dominance. That's inherent in the game. Now, so the Real Madrid story is really a political story. It's a story about how the club came to represent in the Franco era everything about Castilian Spain. It was they were the winning side in the Spanish Civil War in the 1930s, and they managed from having been up until the 1940s, having been a relatively minor team in Madrid. Bernabeu, they managed to, who was a player and a manager, a coach, president of the club, managed to build them up to being this monolith that we know today, and set their stall out in the 50s to dominate European football by buying talent from all over the world. So there's a particular history and a particular cultural story, and of course, if you talk to Spaniards about this, they are hopelessly divided along political lines on their attitudes, whether they're heroes or villains. So that's a very particular story to Spain and reflects Spanish history. But nonetheless, even if it hadn't been Real Madrid, there would have been another team that would have come along and done the equivalent of what they did in Spain at some point, and probably around the same time if Real Madrid hadn't been there to do it first.
Now, Stefan Szymanski, minus the political history, the real nationalist history, kind of stepping aside from that for a second, moving over to England and looking specifically at the Etihad boys with Manchester City and with Roman Abramovich at Chelsea, what parallels do you draw between, and this is again purely on a financial and business level, what parallels do you draw between Manchester City and Chelsea of today, what they're doing with that Real Madrid economic model that you talk so much about in the book, and what does that mean for the Premier League in England?
Well, in every case, the clubs that have achieved dominance have done so by investing very heavily at some point in creating a winning team, investing in ways which don't obviously entail any commercial return, either in the short term or in the long term. And that's been it's most obviously true in the case of Chelsea and Manchester City, where the owners can't ever dream of getting back the money they invested, and it's completely implausible to believe that they spent that money with a view to gaining a financial return. They did it because they wanted to own a dominant club in English football because of the status that would bring them. So in that sense, they resemble Real Madrid, and you can think of the big Italian clubs as well in a similar way, and also in some ways Bayern Munich in Germany. You can think of as having been through the same process, and the question is whether perhaps a more American concept of a more even and balanced competition could ever really be achieved in a professional league the way that the soccer leagues around the world are organized. There just isn't, it seems, the scope to engage in financial redistribution, which would make for a level playing field and allow all the clubs to have an equal chance of winning, rather than just this dominant elite, which is what characterizes pretty much every single soccer league on the planet.
Now, Stefan, we've only got 90 seconds here before we got to head to break, but you segue perfectly into something. Our colleague Nick Webster, host of the World Soccer Talk podcast, he threw out on one of our final podcasts this idea of the European Super League and this kind of almost doomsday-like theory that, you know, English soccer is going to go to the wayside and we're moving forward to this European Super League. And so we'll continue this on the other side of the break, but in under a minute here, can you kind of respond to that? Is that something, is that a doomsday theory, or is that something that could conceive happen in the next 10 to 20 years?
Well, it's something that, I mean, I wrote about this back in 1999. I have a paper which actually looks at the creation of that. And in fact, it had already been suggested in the 1980s. So this is not a new idea. It's been with us a long time. But the thing that changed my mind about this was really in the mid-2000s, when the owners of the Premier League realized they have become the Super League. They may not be winning the trophies, but financially they're now so far ahead of everybody else. It's hard to see in the long term how all the other clubs in Europe can compete.
Stefan Szymanski, again, is our guest here in this edition of World Soccer Talk Radio, talking all about his new book, Money and Soccer. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into Stefan's new book on the other side of the break. Talk about supporters' trust and foreign ownership in the Premier League. A little bit more about foreign ownership in the Premier League. And one of the things I can't wait to talk with Stefan about here in this edition of World Soccer Talk Radio is the timing of this book coming out. It's all about club soccer, but how does it relate to what's going on a financial and corruption level with FIFA? So, very fascinating stuff on the other side of this break. I suggest you stay with us. World Soccer Talk Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Soccer fans, I have a question for you. Which is the only soccer network in the United States that shows games from Ajax, PSV, Colo-Colo, Benfica, Zenit, and other teams? The answer is NGSN, a brand new online sports network that offers live and on-demand games from seven different leagues from around the world for free, no strings attached. With your free 90-day trial, you can watch as many league games from the following countries as you like. Holland, Portugal, Russia, Chile, Bolivia, Ecuador, and Venezuela. NGSN is the only place you can watch Eredivisie games, featuring star players such as Memphis Depay, Andres Guardado, Aaron Johansson, and many more. Plus all of the games from those leagues that are available on your Windows PC or Mac, and your Apple iPhone or Android device. Commentaries are offered in English or Spanish, plus the games are in HD. Now, this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the United States. Try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 90-day trial to NGSN. No credit card is required. You just sign up and go. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
Are you sick and tired of paying more than $100 a month for your TV bill? Well, if so, I've got the solution for you. It's called Fubo TV, and it's the best way to watch the greatest leagues from around the world. Fubo TV is a legal and affordable streaming service that delivers live and on-demand HD broadcasts of BN Sports, Goal TV, Benfica TV, and more. That means you can watch La Liga, Serie A, the Bundesliga, Ligue 1, Copa America, and more. With Fubo TV, the broadcast stream to your computer, smartphone, tablet, Roku, or Amazon Fire TV. Plus, Fubo TV works with Chromecast, so you can cast the games to your TV set. Best of all, Fubo TV is offering a 2-week free trial, so you can watch as much soccer as you like. Go to fubo.tv/radio and sign up today. And if you love what you see, a monthly subscription to Fubo TV is only $6.99 per month. So sign up at fubo.tv/radio right now. FUBO.TV/radio and start enjoying the best soccer from around the world at home, work, or on the go.
Musicians, it's summer, and whether you're having a backyard party, local club show, or heading out on the road, drop into Guitar Center first and save up to 40% on guitars, keyboards, drums, and other gear on the go. Get a Meinl Birchwood Cajon drum for just $50, an Epiphone Les Paul just $99, or 15-inch powered PA speakers just $149 each. Plus, add a pair of speaker stands for just $59. Get road ready and save up to 40% now through Sunday at Guitar Center. Don't miss it.
World Soccer Talk Radio, back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Thanks, as always, for subscribing to us on iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher. I am your host, Nate Abarrea. Stefan Szymanski, the author, co-author of Soccernomics, and he's got a new book coming out, Money and Soccer, a Soccernomics Guide. Stefan, our guest in this edition of the program. Let's pick up right where we left off. We talk about the Super League, this quote-unquote Super League. And I love that you point out, Stefan, that this isn't this brand new novelty idea. You've been hearing this idea since the 1980s, and you've actually written extensively on this thing. One of the biggest, I feel like foundations of this whole thing is clearly the billions of dollars or pounds or euros, however you want to phrase it on a currency level, that just funnel in to the modern Premier League in England. And this is a topic that divides so many people and can be controversial on so many levels, and feel free to take this any direction you want. What are your feelings specifically on foreign ownership in the Premier League? And we brought up the main examples of the Etihad Group at Man City and Roman Abramovich at Chelsea. What does foreign ownership really mean to the Premier League moving forward?
Well, I think part of this is there's a disconnect between the way many people in the UK or in England feel about foreign ownership and the way it seems to the rest of the world. So I think the place to start with this is to say, well, why is it that the Premier League has come to dominate financially to the extent that it has? I mean, the latest figures out from Deloitte, which were published yesterday in their annual review of football finance, makes, in terms of revenue, puts the Premier League nearly about double, just under double the amount of revenue of the next nearest league, which is the Bundesliga, and ahead of Spain, ahead of Italy, and well ahead of everybody else. And that's an extraordinary financial turnaround, which really reflects the sale of international broadcast rights. The Premier League is recognized globally, and whilst probably Real Madrid and Barcelona are the best supported clubs in the world, and Bayern Munich's up there with Manchester United, nonetheless, in terms of the strength and depth, there's nothing stronger. There's nothing that attracts the consistent viewership of the Premier League. You have to ask, well, why is that? Now, you could point to many things. You could point to, for example, the Football League, from which the Premier League derives, is the oldest in the world, so there's a history and tradition. Many countries have followed English football for a very long time, even if not particularly closely. There's obviously Britain's international history and history of colonial relations. There's also a question of time zones, where England is located in time zones, and the time at which games in England are traditionally played are particularly suitable to reaching markets both in east and west of Europe. So there are lots of different things, but I think one of the important factors in my mind has been the openness of the Premier League and English football in general to investment. And investment, I mean, there's been considerable investment by British businesses into buying up football clubs, soccer clubs, but in particular allowing foreign ownership. And that has allowed money to be brought in. It's allowed people to do deals. It's allowed the Premier League to market itself internationally in a way which the Bundesliga and the La Liga in Spain have struggled to market themselves. They've not really succeeded in creating very big audiences globally, as I say, except with the exception of the Barcelona and Real Madrid, and there that league is incredibly unbalanced. So, to my way of thinking, the foreign ownership has been a very positive thing. Being open to capital and investment from outside has been very good for English football. And I know there are many people in England who say, well, we should still own our clubs. But I think if you're English, the great thing is you follow a league which is your native league, which is more or less becoming the world's dominant league. And that's quite a nice thing, really.
Well, Stefan, as far as the resistance to foreign investment, because I don't think anybody can argue that mass foreign investment has highly enhanced the quality of the soccer on the pitch in the Premier League. But as far as the resistance to it, and this is where things can get a little hairy and people can say some things that might offend a few people. How much does nationalism and true pride in English history, how much does that come into play when it comes to the resistance of foreign investment in the Premier League?
I I think there is some of that, although I think also that when you listen carefully, it's noticeable that the fans of the clubs that are the recipients of largesse from foreign owners do not tend to be that critical of the process. It's more, and often it's not even really soccer fans who get involved. It's more sort of armchair critics who talk about who might talk about, you know, the way in which Arab families brought up large segments of property in London, or the way in which, you know, people object to Poles migrating to work in England. There's a lot of that kind of nationalist sort of xenophobia which goes on, which is not really connected directly to the sport. I think the big thing which has been very noticeable, which may have been noticed in America to some extent, is the way in which the ownership of the Glazers at Manchester United and the way in which the ownership of Tom Hicks and George Gillette at Liverpool created a lot of resentment. And there, I think again, there's always been a strong a strain of anti-Americanism in Britain, as there is in much of Europe. Not everybody's anti-American, but there's a significant number of people who are. And that has been driven, I think, there's been some justification, at least, in resenting those particular owners, because they took over the clubs with simply as a vehicle to make money. They put nothing really into the club. They took a lot out. In the case of Hicks and Gillette, I think you can say they actually did significant damage to Liverpool and have hurt the long-term position of that club. And whilst the Glazers have not really damaged Manchester United as a force in English football, nonetheless, they pushed ticket prices up and they took money out of the club, which could have led them. I mean, they could have been spending at the levels of a Barcelona and a Real Madrid, rather than trailing behind somewhat for the last few years. So that those particular cases generate some resentment. But by and large, I think it's more a particular kind of xenophobia, which really covers a lot of things and not just soccer.
Well, Stefan Szymanski, you make a great point there, and it's one that needs to be made more often, that criticizing Hicks and Gillette at Liverpool doesn't mean that you hate and want to resist all American influence in the Premier League. They were just horrible, horrible owners of that club. I mean, talking honestly about Vincent Tan at Cardiff City doesn't mean you hate all Malaysian influence in the English game. I mean, these are specific human beings who have their own specific faults and wrongdoings that have plagued various aspects of these clubs and the game. And so it's very important to point out when we talk about things like nationalism, xenophobia, resistance to foreign investment, that each of these individuals should stand on their own and their actions should be looked at on an individual level. I really appreciate you making that point, Stefan. We've got 2 minutes before we got to head to our next break, and so we can continue this on the other side of the break. But one of the things that you really delve deep into in the book, one of my favorite chapters, was you talk about supporters' trusts. Real quickly, tell the listeners what supporters' trusts are in England and why they're so important.
Well, one of the problems that I talk about in the book at great length is the amount of financial distress, the frequency with which soccer clubs in England go into bankruptcy proceedings. And so one of the responses to that was for fans actually to get together to start raising finance for their club to keep it alive. And that movement started really in the 90s at a very small club called Northampton Town, where a particular individual went to great lengths to raise money and get the club back on its feet, and in exchange for that got the club to agree to have 20% representation of the fans on the board. And that idea has gained momentum. It's had the backing of the British government, and I think it is a great idea. It is one of the good things that's happened in English football over the last 20-30 years. So as well as these very rich individuals coming coming in from abroad, we've also seen a growing movement for fan involvement. And the best example at the moment is Swansea City, which is 20% owned by the fans. And, of course, they've had a wonderful run in the last 10 years.
Stefan Szymanski is our guest here on World Soccer Talk Radio. His new book coming out, Money and Soccer, a Soccernomics Guide. And on the other side of this break, we teased this a little bit early on. This book, this upcoming book from Stefan, focuses all on the world of club football. We're talking all about foreign investment in the Premier League and duopolies in Spain and monopolies around the world in various leagues. How does this all relate to everything going on with FIFA and all of the financial corruption with the international soccer governing body? We'll talk with Stefan about that on the other side of this break. World Soccer Talk Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Stay with us.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to keep you company on the drive home. My $5 fill-up with chicken tenders and all-new FLG sauce is precision-engineered to drive hunger clear across the county line. It'll cause an 11-car pileup of herbs and spices in your mouth. With mashed potatoes, a cookie, and a drink for just $5. We're late for eating. Better step on it. Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's finger-licking good.
Limited time offer. Pricing and participation may vary.
Musicians, it's summer, and whether you're having a backyard party, local club show, or heading out on the road, drop into Guitar Center first and save up to 40% on guitars, keyboards, drums, and other gear on the go. Get a Meinl Birchwood Cajon drum for just $50, an Epiphone Les Paul just $99, or 15-inch powered PA speakers just $149 each. Plus, add a pair of speaker stands for just $59. Get road ready and save up to 40% now through Sunday at Guitar Center. Don't miss it.
We all know healthcare has changed drastically. It's quite the puzzle to sort through your options and find a health insurance plan that's affordable and maximizes your benefits. And you're now required by law to have health insurance or you may pay a tax penalty. So let the Health Markets Insurance Agency help you. They offer plans from over 120 different companies and can even help you obtain government subsidies. Let them do all the research for you and show you how affordable health insurance can be, a service that's at no extra cost to you. Call now and learn your options to find affordable health insurance. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is a DBA or assumed name of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc., which is a licensed insurance agency in all 50 states and D.C. Not all agents are licensed to sell all products. Service availability varies by state.
If you like painting and saving, ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains during our four-day super sale, June 5th through the 8th. With 40% off our exceptional paints and stains and 30% off painting supplies, you can give your whole home a color makeover. But hurry, these savings are so super, they won't be around for long. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Are you tired of network announcers who are clearly pulling for the other team? Check out Rabble.tv, a new kind of television experience where you are in control of the audio. Rabble.tv allows users like you to broadcast your insights and opinions about sports and entertainment, free from the restraint of network predictability. Rabblers are creating a fresh new type of audio entertainment. Mute your TV and do your own play-by-play, provide running commentary, or just banter with your buddies. Or you can listen to other fans who love your team as much as you do. It's live, it's new, it's Rabble. Rabble.tv.
World Soccer Talk Radio back here with you. And another huge thank you to Rabble.tv for their continued support of this program here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. You can go check out the now archived broadcast from Kartik Krishnayer and Daniel Feuerstein of the USA-Holland match. And if you don't know what happened in the USA-Holland match in Amsterdam, I'm not going to spoil it for you. Go to Rabble.tv, check out the audio broadcast from Kartik and Daniel of World Soccer Talk, and enjoy yourself. Check out the match highlights. That thing just wound to a close a few minutes ago. Again, not not going to spoil it. Go check out what happened in Amsterdam between the USA and Holland. As always, huge thank you to Rappel.tv for their support of World Soccer Talk Radio. Stefan Szymanski is our guest in this edition of the show. His new book just came out, Money and Soccer, a Soccernomics Guide. And we ended that last segment talking about supporters' trusts and what those mean to the longevity of clubs in England and clubs around the world. So I want to transition now into something that it just kind of blows my mind. You're such a specialist in the world of economics and economics in soccer and even the broader sporting world. This book is firmly entrenched in the world of club soccer. It's a book about leagues and clubs around the world. But the timing of you releasing this book called Money and Soccer, and with what's going on with FIFA and all of the financial corruption with the international governing body, talk about any kind of relation between this and what you kind of thought of the timing of all this coming together.
Well, I had to pay a very large bribe to the Justice Department to bring it out now. I you know, in some ways, I couldn't believe my luck to have a book, Money and Soccer, published this week. Although, as you point out, the subject matter of the book is actually rather different because it's club soccer rather than the international game, and so it makes me wish I could have written a very different book about the financing of the international game. Although in some ways it is less interesting in the sense that from an economic perspective, it's one of the things about the international game is that it is really sort of robber baron capitalism at its worst, in a way. If you think about the way it works, the national association of each country requires every registered club to release its players without compensation to play in national team games. And if that player gets injured, well, mostly it's just bad luck. It's just tough. And the employers have no say in this if they want to be registered. So in some ways, the monopoly of the federations, and which is ultimately represented through FIFA, is what creates the conditions under which you can run a World Cup that is very profitable, and that's how you can then generate all of these bribes. Now, one thing that I find that's always interested me about this is that in most sports, it doesn't work this way. You either have the American kind of situation where you have, you know, Major League Baseball or the NBA or the NFL, where there's no national team game, or even where there is a national team game, as in for example basketball, there's quite a strong international team game. It's still the NBA. You know, is very selective about how it will release players. It doesn't have any obligation, and it really, the international games by and large come a very poor second to the NBA in terms of interest. Now, there are other sports out there, sports particularly British sports that I'm particularly fond of, like cricket or rugby union, where it's the opposite way around. There's a club game and people play in clubs, and there's professional players and so forth, but nobody's very interested in them. They don't really attract very large crowds. It's the international game that everybody watches. We just had the Cricket World Cup where, Australia beat New Zealand in the final, and everybody is really focused on that. And we've got the Rugby World Cup coming up in England this fall, which, you know, I'll be very keen following how the England team does and hoping they can do well. So, you know, and what's interesting is in the world of soccer, we seem to have there's a sort of balance where you have a very, very strong club game and also a very, very strong national team game. And it's kind of interesting that balance survives. But one thing is, you know, with what's been happening in FIFA, maybe that might be about to change. For many years, it's noticeable that people have been saying that, you know, the quality of soccer at the World Cup is not as good, for example, as the quality of soccer in the Champions League. And It may well be that in the longer term, the national game might fall behind the club game in terms of interest.
Well, Stefan Szymanski, I want to come back stateside now. And the last time we had you on this show, it was during a time where you'd ruffle the American soccer landscape, basically talking about the MLS, Major League Soccer, single entity structure as in many ways a glorified pyramid scheme. And I joke about this all the time that MLS is only one letter away from MLM. You know, what's the difference between Major League Soccer and multi-level marketing? Well, it's really only one letter. Within this book, you made something that really fascinated me, and that is because many people know this, I'm a huge baseball guy. I broadcast baseball for an independent minor league team in Northern California. Baseball and soccer are my two loves in life, and there's always so many connections between the two that I don't think are seen by the majority of people. And you made a really interesting case here about independent minor league baseball and how that's kind of gone to the wayside. And we've seen a little bit of a renaissance with this, with independent, non-affiliated, not affiliated in any way with Major League Baseball. And these things used to be hugely popular back into the 1940s and even into the 1950s. And you compare it to, I mean, let's compare it now to this Major League Soccer monopoly of sorts that we're seeing with soccer in this country, and talk about how it relates your point about these old independent minor league baseball leagues and how it compares to this revamp or this recreation of the North American Soccer League here in America, even the United Soccer League, and what that could mean for the growth of soccer in the States. Are we just going to see the NASL and the USL do what many of these independent minor league baseball leagues did, and that is go to the wayside and become extinct? Talk about that a little bit, Stefan.
Right. So, you know, It's often the case that people look at soccer, and one of the things, the distress that I talk about and the way that clubs are constantly on the edge of financial failure and constantly and regular trips to bankruptcy courts and so forth, people often say, well, that's terrible, and we don't want that in soccer, and that's why we'd like Major League Soccer. We'd like it to be nice and stable. And one of the points that I think is very important is that actually this financial instability is one of actually the strengths of soccer in the rest of the world. It seems paradoxical, but the fragility of each individual club, because there are so many of them, actually adds up to a very, very stable system. And in some ways, the monolithic systems that you have in the U.S., where you have Major League Baseball, has with no possibility of entry from below, has actually destroyed the regional minor leagues, or turned them into these kind of uncompetitive or uninteresting competitions. I mean, a good day out for the family, no doubt, but not really competitive baseball. Although of course it's great to see that come back. And one of the problems in the U.S., I think that many people see, is that you have, if you live in a big city, you have access to the highest level of play. But if you live in a smaller town, then really, you know, minor league play with no possibility of rising up the pyramid is what you have to live with. And it would be great to see those kind of opportunities brought into the American system. And people say, well, you're never going to get promotion relegation in baseball, and probably that's right. But it's still an open question as to whether the MLS model will triumph, and I would prefer personally. I think it would be more fun for fans if they did try to move towards a promotion relegation system, whether that's financially better or not. So I suppose that's a statement of my personal preferences, and I guess you might think, well, he's English, he would say that, wouldn't he?
Well, this is the spot to share those personal preferences, Stefan Szymanski. And before we finish up on the MLS discussion, I mean, you talked a little bit there about the single entity structure of this league. And look, we talked in the last segment about, you know, what many people call stubborn Philistine-like thinking from the English in regards to various forms of investment in the Premier League, and this kind of stubborn way of so many English high-ranking officials. What about Don Garber in America? I mean, how stubborn is this man? I catch a lot of flack from everybody. I'm anti MLS, and I don't want to see this league succeed. No, I want to see this league succeed. I've cheered on this league and cheered on teams within this league for a long time. I just have so many problems with who Don Garber is and what he professes. I think he's the most stubborn man in all of North American soccer, and one of the most stubborn men in all the world. What do you really think about Don Garber, and can any of these ideas that, I mean, some of them you might call outlandish, others are very logical of yours, Stefan. Is Don Garber a man that's ever going to let any of these ideas flourish?
Well, so what I think about Don Garber, he has my full sympathy. I mean, it's an impossible job, and I don't think any of us in his position would be able to do necessarily much better than he's doing. I think he's got a particular problem because he's nailed his pants to the mast on saying, well, we're never going to have promotion and relegation. And I think for him to turn around and change the business model would be beyond the bounds of credibility. He'd have to resign. So, I mean, he sinks or swims with the current model. So I understand that he doesn't really have a choice. The question is whether this model is going to be sustainable and whether it's just going to run into the sand at some point soon. I think it's problematic. I think, you know, it's not easy to see how it can generate the kind of revenue that would produce a return for the investors. And then maybe those investors aren't after making a large sum of money, but a lot of people tell us that they need to make a financial return. I think the other thing that strikes me is that the immense creativity, the immense enthusiasm at every level in the United States for soccer at the moment, and the creativity and imagination of people all over the place. I want to give a shout out to Detroit City FC. I went to see my first game there a couple of weeks ago. It was just a wonderful experience. I mean, 3,000 people, and they were going crazy, and you know, it was great to watch, and showing that level of enthusiasm. And I have to believe that soccer in this country has an immense future, regardless of whether MLS succeeds or not. I don't think it necessarily matters in the end whether MLS works. I think soccer is going to be big here, and the way in which that could happen with MLS or without MLS, either way.
Stefan, I love the shout out to Detroit City FC, and there's a number of other lower division clubs around this country right now that are doing things on a grassroots level. And hit me up on Twitter at NateWST and at World Soccer Talk. Let us know about your hometown club, because the grassroots is where this thing starts, and it is integral to the growth of this game in this country. And again, we shouldn't just depend on Major League Soccer. This is my opinion. We shouldn't just depend on Major League Soccer for the growth of this game that we love. Stefan Szymanski, it has been an absolute blast, as always, talking with you. And before we let you go real quick, got 30 seconds before we got to head to another break here. Let folks know where they can get the book.
Oh, well, you can go to the Nation Books website, but you can get it at Amazon. You can even get it at Walmart, I think. So there should be plenty of places, no shortage of opportunities to buy the book. Thank you. Thanks a lot, Nate. It's been great talking to you.
Money and Soccer, a Soccernomics Guide. Stefan Szymanski on World Soccer Talk Radio. We're back after this. Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Do you know which investment has tripled in price since the debt crisis and risen an average 20% a year for 11 years? It's not stocks, not bonds, it's silver. And right now, we at Lear Capital believe silver is poised to hit new record highs. And we're making it easier to own than ever. For a limited time, new customers with $5,000 or more to invest in gold or silver can get up to 10 certified Morgan Silver Dollars absolutely free. That's right, up to 10 100-year-old Morgan Silver Dollars when you invest $5,000 or more. A $600 value free. This offer is available for IRA accounts as well.
Call right now, 800-631-9229, 800-631-9229, 800-631-9229. Call Lear Capital now, 800-631-9229.
Attention catheter users. Stop reusing dirty catheters. Catheters are now disposable. Recent changes in Medicare now allow patients up to 200 disposable catheters a month, all at little or no cost to you. We bill Medicare. Put an end to the mess and risk of infection by using old catheters. Just use a catheter once and throw it away. Eliminate trips to the pharmacy and insurance paperwork. Shipping is free. Receive a free catheter sample by calling and joining Medical Direct Club right now.
Call 1-800-399-9018 to receive your free catheter sample discreetly delivered right to your door. That's 1-800-399-9018. 1-800-399-9018. Call 1-800-399-9018 today.
Deductibles and copays apply. Free catheter samples require qualified membership. Sample will arrive with 90-day order.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like they did for these Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can have your website built for free and up and running in as little as 7 days. Plus, promote your site on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call now to get your website built for free. If after 30 days you're happy with your new website, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for just one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing. Call 855-254-SITE, 855-254-SITE. 855-254-7483 or go to web.com/radio. There is no upfront charge for building the website, after which the ongoing fee applies. Rights to the website are relinquished upon cancellation unless otherwise purchased.
World Soccer Talk Radio is back with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, taking the express train home. Another huge thank you to Stefan Szymanski for joining us in this edition of the show, Money and Soccer, a Soccernomics Guide. Check out his new book, some fascinating stuff, and what a great conversation with Stefan. I joked about this in the opening, but I'm quite serious about this as well. Talking to Stefan, for me, it's like those just amazing college classes where you want to go with your notepad and your pen and put on the glasses. You also want to crack open a drink and just listen and just feel so, engaged with everything. Just a great, great man, and so privileged to have him as a frequent guest here on World Soccer Talk Radio. 40 seconds left in the show, so real quickly, Fearless Friday forecast time, Champions League final edition. Since nobody else is going to do it, I'm calling the Italian special. Juve 1-1 with Barca, and the Italians win it on penalties in true Italian fashion. Come on, old lady. Come on, Juve. I'm calling it the ultimate upset. And the other Fearless Friday forecast prediction, I'm saying the USA is going to beat Holland 4-3. See what I did there? Congrats, Jurgen. I'm telling you, Jurgen went to the hash bar last night and came up with a masterful plan. World Soccer Talk Radio, back with you next week. Nate Abarea here saying farewell. Enjoy your footballing weekend.